Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Evina Sullivan is from County Leash, and at the start of this year, she started writing to a pen pal, but this isn't your regular sort of pen pal. Good morning, Evina.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good, thanks. Tell us about your pen pal, Brandon Bernard, and tell us about why he is on death row.
Yeah, so Brandon Bernard, he's a 40-year-old man on death row, and he's due to be executed on December 10th. So he was only 18 when he was sentenced. He's one of the youngest people ever to be sentenced to a death sentence. And I suppose people are campaigning now to move his death sentence to life without parole.
And we talk about his case maybe in a minute, but how did you become his pen pal?
I was looking for a pen pal at the start of the year, which is kind of random. I remember my sister Brina used to have one when she was younger. So I just went online, I Googled it, and I found this site called Write a Prisoner. And it has, you know, thousands of prisoner profiles on it, and you can, you know, scroll through them and send them a letter. And I found Brandon's profile, and I just wrote him a page and kind of went from there then.
And it sounds even like you have a kind of a special connection with Brandon.
Yeah, oh God, you wouldn't be able to not make a special connection with him, to be honest with you. He's very special person. Like, when I wrote to him, I didn't really know what to expect, and I kind of chosen his profile because he said he was a reader, and I like books myself. So I wrote him, I'd say it was 500 words, not even a page. And what I got back was 8 pages front and back, a handwritten letter from him that just was so amazing. It was like a book in itself. He's just a very, very special person. And yeah, you know, and all the support he has, it kind of shows how special he is because so many people are supporting him. He's an amazing person.
Okay. Now, what did Brandon Bernard do?
To have a death sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, unfortunately, there was a carjacking and a robbery that went horribly wrong in, I think it was 1999, and it resulted in the loss of two innocent lives of Todd and Stacey Bagley. So there was 5 accomplices, and Brandon was one of them. And he was, because he was 18 years old, I think the 3 others were 17, and they said they didn't get a death sentence, and he got, unfortunately, a death sentence.
And what was his part in the crime?
So he actually wasn't there for most of the events that took place, and I think it was Christopher Villalva. He shot the two victims, and they presumed they were dead, and he asked Brandon to set the car on fire, but unfortunately, in the autopsy, it was revealed that Stacey actually was she was unconscious, but she was still alive. So it turned out that, you know, because of the fire, then that was her cause of death.
Yeah, you see, I don't want to be judgmental here, but people will wonder how that tallies then with this kind of beautiful spirit that you talk about and that you have this connection with.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's an awful lot of facts in the trial, and what you kind of have to remember is I'm not excusing it in any way. And
you don't say he's innocent.
No, and that's, I suppose, the most important thing is that people who are supporting him right now, no one's asking for him, you know, to be released or, you know, claiming that he's fully innocent. They just want to move his death sentence to life without parole. You know, he'd still be in jail for the rest of his life. He'd still be punished. But, you know, he wouldn't be so brutally executed on December 10th, which, I think that's fair enough to ask for. And also, when you look at the trial that Brandon was involved in, he was only 18 at the time. And, you know, that was 20 years ago. And the support that he's got, he's actually, I think this is an interesting fact to say, is that 5 of the jurors that had sentenced Brandon to death sentence are actually supporting his clemency to get his death sentence changed to life without parole. The prosecutor who prosecuted Brandon is also supporting it. She wrote an article there last week about how, you know, she could go back. She wouldn't have sentenced him to death sentence. Like, she wished she had more information. And, his trial, there's an awful lot of facts in it, but he kind of had a court-appointed lawyer who didn't make an opening statement for him, who didn't call any witnesses for his defence.
Okay.
They had Dr. Coons give testimony, and, you know, he claimed this would have swayed an awful lot of the jurors to give a death sentence to Brandon. And he claimed, you know, that Brandon had a gang mentality and he was always going to be a danger to society. And that testimony, he's actually been banned from giving that testimony in any court now. You know, like 20 years later, it's kind of junk science. There's no evidence to it. So, okay. You know, when you look at that, it's tough, like.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So you view it, obviously, as this is a guy who made a mistake, but that he is at heart a good person. It says you feel he's opened your eyes and changed the way you think.
Yeah, like, I suppose, I'm not excusing what happened. Yeah. It's an awful tragedy. But he's 18 years old at the time, you know, and you think back. He's 40 now. He spent more than half his life in a little room and a cell, a 6x8-foot cell for 22 to 23 hours of the day on his own. And, like, that's been his life. But you'd think that would be so hard. He's the most positive person ever. Like, he'd write a letter and, you know, there's a little... They have a film over the windows in the prison so you can't see outside. I don't know for what reason. And, you know, one day he wrote and said that the film had been peeling off on his window and he could see the sun. And he was just so happy that he could see the sun. He was like, oh, it's just such a great day. I'm so lucky. And he's just such a positive outlook in life that you just think to yourself, God, I should really adapt that life, that mentality for myself, you know?
Yeah, no, you've actually, even you've agreed to read us a little bit from one of his letters. And
yeah.
this is a letter he wrote the day before another execution, isn't it?
Yeah, so Orlando Hall he's the latest person who was executed. It was last Thursday. And Brandon would have been, you know, in the death row with him for the last 20 years. So he wrote this the day before Orlando was executed. So will I go ahead?
Yeah, please
do. Yeah, so these are his words. So yesterday the sun shone through my room, but it didn't touch all parts. There are still shadows in the corners of the room, like the light doesn't want to come all the way in, for fear that it will get trapped in it like me. Tomorrow my neighbour will be killed if no one stops it. It is so sad they sanction the killing of a man that they don't know, and they say he's bad when they don't even know who he is. I wish that I could snap my fingers and just make us all disappear. If society doesn't want us, we will go to another place, an island like Lost, and we will make our own home. One with one rule, to love them one another.
Okay. Evine O'Sullivan, that's an extraordinary story. And there's a website, helpsavebrandon.com, and people can go there if they want to read more about the case. And if they
yeah,
want to.
And there's also a letter if people could sign. It would only take a minute to send to Donald Trump. It's on the helpsavebrandon.com, just to show their support, but to get his death sentence reduced to life without parole. So it would be great if people could sign that, you know, just to get Brandon's story out there and to give him a chance at life and to save his life, hopefully.
Okay, Evine, thanks a million.
Thanks so much, Brandon, for having me on.